Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Celebrating great big new contracts. Some players can get those new contracts beforehand. If you've been released, J.J. Watt, you can sign somewhere else. Thoughts on that with the gentleman who joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. Brownzone.com is where you can read all of the work of Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, before we get to J.J. Watt, the never-ending saga, will he be a Cleveland Brown? I want to ask you what we were talking about the last couple of segments. How much loyalty does an NFL team owe a player? And we were thinking specifically about Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, who says, I'd like to come back. I'll take a lot less money. And the Steelers seem kind of, eh, we'll see. I think it's a really, really interesting situation, Scott.
It is. Obviously, we've seen a lack of loyalty just, you know, throughout the league when it comes to players, right? Guys get cut all the time, no matter what their contract situation is. We saw, you know, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz get traded after signing big deals. I'd like to think that a guy like Ben Roethlisberger is special and is different. And if he's given, whatever it is, 16, 17 years to that franchise and won a couple Super Bowls and taken to the playoffs a billion times, that the organization would be loyal to him. And that would include letting him continue to play if he wants to play, right? And if, you know, this is assuming you believe, if you're the Steelers, that his skills are still good enough, which I know they've decreased, but I think they are still good enough. I think you have to do everything you can if you're the Steelers to try to bring him back. And maybe I'm not looking at it cold-hearted enough, but that's kind of my philosophy.
Can he still play? Do you think he can still play?
I do. He's not the same guy he was. But I also want to see how his arm is after, he had off-season surgery, 2019, right? He missed most of the year. So this is his first year back after the surgery. I think there's reason to believe that his arm will be healthier and stronger in 2021. I don't think he can carry a team anymore, but they have a big-time defense. If you find a running game and figure out how to tweak that passing attack so it's not all underneath stuff, I think Ben Roethlisberger can win you games. I mean, we forget they were 11-0, right? And he threw for 500 yards in the playoff loss to the Browns. So, I don't know if he's 15th in the league when you're ranking quarterbacks. Maybe he's a little bit lower than that. But I think if you put the right team around him, I think Ben can still win for you. And I think, plus, I think that Pittsburgh doesn't have a better option. Mason Rudolph's not the option there. Dwayne Haskins is not the option. So what do you do at quarterback? Do you just say, we're going to rebuild? And that doesn't feel like something the Steelers ever do. So I would ride it out with Ben for another year if I were Pittsburgh, assuming you could figure out a way to make it work cap-wise.
Scott, is there a quarterback situation in the NFL right now, with everything that's going on, the Saints with Drew Brees retiring, other teams that might be looking to do some things that you think might be stunning? Have anything in your head that you think this guy's going to be terrific, or, Jameis Winston goes here or anything like that? Or have you just kind of been observing from afar?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if I have a specific player in mind. I'm really intrigued by what New England's going to do. Right, we saw him take the one-year run with Cam Newton, and it didn't work out for a variety of reasons. I think some were Cam Newton's fault, and some were the talent around him's fault. Right, the Patriots just don't have the weapons on offense that you need to succeed without a superstar quarterback. So I want to see what Bill Belichick's going to do. Is that Marcus Mariota? Does he find a guy off the scrap heap? Does he, do 1 year with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Does he make a run at somebody else? Because, you know, I think they're out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. They don't make the playoffs. They have roster issues. But they should get guys coming back who opted out last year. Bill's got a whole new offseason to go add talent. I think they have plenty of salary cap space. I think they're a team that, man, maybe they go into 2021 is the clear-cut. They're out, you know, the Buffalo's the clear-cut leader in that division now, or clear-cut favorite. But I don't think you can rule out a Bill Belichick team. And I think all that's missing is a legitimate quarterback. Now, I don't know where he finds that guy, but the fact is there's options out there, right? I think that carousel is going to keep spinning throughout the offseason. And who Bill winds up with, I'm really kind of interested to find out, because I think that could make all the difference when we're talking about possible AFC playoff contenders.
Scott, the J.J. Watt thing obviously still looms, and I still want to talk about it. I just, and I know you think, do you still think he should be priority one for the Browns? Let's start there.
I do. Nothing has changed in my estimation. I think he would be a huge addition to this team. Not only does he give you the bookend to Myles Garrett, I think he's a type of personality that raises this team to a Super Bowl quality level. I just think he has that about him. And it's not all the play. I mean, part of it's his play. And I still think he has a lot of good years left, right? Assuming he doesn't have a catastrophic injury. And I know he's had a few of those, but he didn't last year. He played more than 1,000 snaps. He played all 16 games. If you get a healthy J.J. Watt, I think he is a double-digit sack guy, especially on a line with Myles Garrett. But on top of that is the drive, the determination, the work ethic, all of that. Just being Defensive Player of the Year three times, being a Walter Payton Man of the Year, I think all that has an influence on the rest of your roster. I think it'll have an influence on Myles Garrett. And I don't think you can put – I mean, I know the Browns will, but I'm not sure you can put a dollar amount on what that value is. So, yeah, if I were the Browns, I would go all out to sign him. You know, I'm sure they have a number in mind budgetarily, and maybe that's not enough for J.J., or maybe it is, or maybe that's not going to be the biggest factor. But I look across his free agent landscape, and he's the number one guy I would go after.
I agree with everything you said. The idea that he's been injured so much in the last 5 years makes me think it's almost too much of a gamble. If he could come in and stay healthy, the intangible of his leadership and everything else, I love it, Scott. I really do. But, man, that's why I'm more tempted to sink the money into a younger guy who might not have all those intangibles yet, but might have more consistent and healthier play. Do you let that factor in if you're the Browns?
Yeah, you definitely do. And I'm not dismissing that at all, Jeff, and I get it. And if the Browns choose to go down that road, I would understand that. I just don't think, you know, and again, the health is a big deal. But is Carl Lawson a better player in 2021 and 2022 than J.J. Watt? I'm not guaranteed that he is. You know, I know he's not as good a run defender if J.J. Watt's healthy. I know he doesn't have the versatility where you can move him inside if you want to and play – you know, play him next to Myles Garrett on the line, which you can do with J.J. Watt. You can't do with some of these other guys we're talking about that are going to be available or might be available in free agency if they're not franchise tagged. But I get that. I get not wanting to give big money to a guy that you're not 100% convinced will stay healthy and is going to be 32 years old. I understand that. I also think when you look at how the Browns are going to allocate their dollars, are they a team that's going to sign a guy for 4 or 5 years, right? If it's, you know, if Shaq Barrett hits the market or Lawson or, you know, whoever, these Hendrickson out of New Orleans, you know, whoever these edge rushers we're talking about, those guys are going to get those kind of contracts, right? It's going to be 4 or 5 years. Is Andrew Berry looking to tie up that kind of long-term money in that position when he also will have to do it at quarterback, and he's going to have to do it at cornerback with Denzel Ward and maybe does it at running back with Nick Chubb? Like, he's got some other salary cap financial decisions to make, and I think there's an argument to be made that, well, if you sign J.J. Watt for 2 years, then you're not hamstringing you long-term at that position, and maybe you draft a guy at 26 at defensive end, and then he becomes your guy in 2 years, and you don't have a long-term, you know, you're already paying Miles $25 million, right? So do you commit, you know, do you commit $40 million for the next 4 years at edge rusher? You know, I think that's something Andrew Berry also has to consider.
Scott, I also want to talk to you about one of your stories that you have up on BronZone.com. And I thought it was interesting because I think this every time we talk about Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. And I do think, and I've said this before, that it's not, you know, it's an era thing. It's not so much, are you really the greatest of all time? And then you've got that really good story about Otto Graham with 10 title games and 7 championships. Your thoughts on the piece that you wrote and then making the argument for Otto Graham?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the 10 and 7 just makes it so easy to examine, right? Both Tom Brady and Otto Graham went to 10 championships. Both have 7, both won 7 of those 10. Now, Otto Graham did it in all 10 years, right? And then he retired. It took Tom Brady 21 years to get 7 and 10. You know, we're all biased to recency. And especially if you never saw Otto Graham play live, it's almost impossible to make that comparison, you know, and you know, 7 years ago, I would not have called Tom Brady the greatest of all time. You know, I looked at a guy like John Elway, and I thought he was so much more talented physically than Tom Brady that if I had to pick a quarterback, it would have been John Elway. But then when you put up these numbers, all of a sudden Tom Brady becomes this undisputed or almost undisputed greatest of all time, and I completely get that. And the NFL is slanted toward the Super Bowl era, and everything Otto did was before the Super Bowl. So I understand that. But I thought it deserved a conversation. And then I was able to get Mike Brown, the Bengals owner, on the phone. And obviously he's the son of Paul Brown. So he grew up around Otto Graham. And he loved him. And he remembers him as a player. You know, I think he was 10 years old when Otto got here. So he was 20 when he retired after winning that 7th championship in 1955. So Mike remembers. And he remembers it well. And he thinks he deserves to be in the discussion with Tom Brady, and he said, all you can do is be the best of your era. And Otto is the best of his, and Tom Brady's probably the best of his. Mike Brown wouldn't even concede that. He said, oh, you can't forget Peyton Manning, you can't forget Drew Brees, but he said he's probably the best. I just thought it was really interesting talking to Mike, who had that firsthand experience watching Otto and recalling what an athlete he was, that he could run the ball if he needed him to. He said he didn't, unless it was absolutely necessary because he didn't want to get hurt because the team needed him. So he was careful, but push came to shove, he could pick up, you know, yardage running. He said he always found the open receiver and, you know, put him on him. And if you look at his numbers, you know, completion percentage is nowhere close, but he still led the league, I think it was 3 or 4 times in completion percentage. So that's how it was back then. You know, he was the best back then. He led the league in passing 5 times. His 9.0 yards an attempt is still the best in NFL history by more than a half a yard. So, you know, it's an impossible thing to say, yes, Otto's better than Tom Brady, but I think it's completely reasonable to say he should not be ignored and he should be remembered as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And it's not just winning. It goes above that. It goes to who he was as a player, as a dominant player.
Scott, last thing. The Browns need some help at linebacker, whether that means guys who are here get better, whether that means they draft somebody else, whether that means they sign veteran free agents. Christian Kirksey was just cut in Green Bay. Any interest from the Browns, or should they say, hey, Christian, good luck to you. I'm glad you were here for a while. See ya.
See, I think he is an option. And I don't know how they're going to address linebacker. We all know they need to get better there. I also believe they're not going to devote big-time resources to that position. And I think we saw that with how they handled it last year, right? They cut Christian Kirksey because he was coming off the injuries and they didn't want to pay him. And that made all the sense in the world. They did not make a run at Joe Schobert because they thought he was not worth that kind of money. And I don't think it was only a Joe Schobert thing. I think there's a sentiment within that organization that linebacker is not worth $10 million a year for a player. So therefore, is it worth spending the 26th pick on the draft on a linebacker? Maybe. Maybe you wait and you just draft guys in the third round like Jacob Phillips, like Taki Taki the year before, even though that was a John Dorsey guy. And that's how you try to fill in your linebacker position. And then you augment that with some cheap one-year veterans like B.J. Goodson, like Christian Kirksey. So, you know, I don't think there's any rush to bring in a guy like Christian Kirksey, but, you know, as you get into late March and you kind of try to formulate your linebacker plan, I could see the Browns, whether it's Christian Kirksey or a guy like him, being part of the solution to bring in five guys and you roll them out, and that's how you make do at linebacker without devoting any big-time resources to the position.
Interesting. Scott, thank you very much. Brownzone.com, where you can go read all of Scott's work. Go read that autogram story. Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.